My name is Sonia Scoflin. I am 50 years old. Today is Wednesday, June 3rd, 2020. I live in Missoula, Montana. The name of my conversation partner is Hans Scoflin, and I am his mother.
My name is Hans Scoflin. I'm 17. Today is Wednesday, June 3rd, 2020. I live in Missoula, Montana, and this is my conversation partner, Sonia Scoflin, who is my mother.
Great. So we can start? Okay, great. I wanted to just start, Hans, with a little explanation before I ask you a question. Do you remember about 2 weeks ago when we were all sitting in the living room, which we've been doing a lot of, addressing your graduation announcements, and your dad and I just had a brief exchange about how quickly time passes?
Well, I don't particularly remember the exact moment.
Okay.
Sonia, I want to stop you for a second. I don't see the clock going, so I just want to investigate that before you.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Do I? Nothing. But there are a bunch within the module.
Okay, sorry, I disappeared for a second. It looks like the clock is going.
Okay.
Wow.
So why don't you continue? You don't need to reintroduce yourselves. Why don't you restart with the story that you were at?
Okay, all right. Do you remember about 2 weeks ago when we were all sitting in the living room addressing your graduation announcements, and your dad and I had a brief exchange? How quickly time passes.
I don't remember the exact conversation, but
we were just mentioning how we remember vividly the day that you were born. And you probably know that we had to unexpectedly take you back to the hospital mm-hmm. 3 days after you were born. You were just dehydrated, as it turned out, and the problem was resolved fairly quickly, but we had to stay in the hospital for a few days so they could rule out infection. At one point, your dad had you in his lap, your tiny self, which is funny to think about now. And he was reading out loud to you, 50 Years Below Zero by Richard Brower, who founded the town of Brower, Alaska. I had a suspicion then that you would be a reader, and it did not take long for you to prove me right. I'm just wondering if you remember asking your dad and me to read to you.
Well, I don't remember any specific times, but I certainly do remember just that being a general thing that I wanted you guys to do.
A lot.
I learned to read quick enough so that I could read by myself sometimes. Of course, there's nothing like having a parent read to you.
Well, I remember fondly the day in kindergarten, right after Dr. Seuss week in March. At least that's how I remember it, when you could read to yourself. Do you remember that?
I don't remember exactly that, but I remember being in kindergarten, and there was this book with, like, I don't know, a picture of a fire truck or perhaps a cow. And there was like two words on the page, like, this is a cow, or the fire truck is red. And I was like, this is too easy. There's nothing here.
Okay. I think what was most liberating about that time, I just always refer to that Dr. Seuss week in March as just the magic carpet. And interestingly, it was the same for your sister, but it was liberating for you. to just be able to take up on your own, and also for your dad and me to get a little respite, even though those were our cherished moments with you, getting to read anything and everything together. I quickly realized that I could not read everything you wanted to read ahead of you, because you are a fast reader. And so I had to trust that you would be able to handle whatever you were reading. Did you ever feel overwhelmed by anything you read?
No, not really. I mean, there was nothing. I mean, I don't know what being overwhelmed would look like. Well, there was never a time when it made me just absolutely want to put a book away.
I just had to trust that you would come to me or your dad if you had any questions or concerns, but you really never did.
Mm-hmm.
I think if anything, you just shared what you were reading.
Mm-hmm.
What is the importance of reading to you, Hans, over all these years? Because you are a voracious reader of anything and everything.
Well, I mean, it's just generally a fun activity to pass the time sometimes when, like, on a rainy day, or when you just don't have the opportunity to go out and bike or something else. It's also certainly been very, very valuable to me in school, because my fairly voracious reading habits have given me a good vocabulary and a good degree of literacy. And I would credit my spelling ability in middle school and elementary school to my reading.
Mm-hmm. But you just get a really deep enjoyment.
I do. Mm-hmm. I mean,
you know, one of my favorite stories is when I would take you to first or second grade, I can't remember which, and there was one day where we had to leave and I had to tell you to stop reading National Geographic because we had to go to school. And the irony of that was never lost on me, just having to tell you to stop reading that kind of material so you could go learn something at school, even though you were learning. But it's just a favorite memory. So if I recall right, Hans, I think your interest in World War II planes began in about sixth grade, but definitely by seventh grade. And my perception was you had exhausted the books on this subject matter in the children's section of the library. So I introduced you to the general section of the library, where there were just rows and rows on the subject matter. And I felt like it was better than being in a candy store for you. I just wonder what made you so interested in this subject.
Well, I like airplanes. I mean, that was all there was to it at the beginning. I had not really grasped the significance of what World War II was, or how profoundly affected the men and women who served in it. And I mean, that's kind of because here in the US, we don't actually teach that stuff until you get to like high school, which I find ridiculous. I mean, in France, where it actually happened, people learn this when they're in third grade. But over time, it has come to be much, much more than just about airplanes.
I've noticed that. And I mean, your interest led to that deeper examination of the lives of those who served in those wars. You taught me, along with so many other things, such as B17. I know. but more importantly, Hans, you taught me that many German men and women fought not because they wanted to, but because they had to. And you humanize that side of the war to me for me. I think you kind of answered well, but or you could maybe do you have any other thoughts on how you think all of your reading on that subject matter has influenced you and shaped your outlook?
Well, real quick, I'd like to go back to the thing about the Germans. I mean, they were fighting for the wrong cause, but I mean, we've even seen a little bit of that in the U.S. I mean, here people have, there have been riots because of the draft in the past during World War II and, well, I think even World War I when African-Americans felt they were being drafted in a disproportionate ratio to white people. And we've seen that. And I mean, at least here in the U.S., people have the right to protest about those things. And mean people could run away to Canada or try to get out of it. But a lot of other people just did not have the choice to get out when their draft card was called. And Germany was kind of like that, except for that if you said no in any way, your family was likely to be shot or jailed or otherwise put in peril. Anyhow, you're asking about the significance of reading to me.
Right. And that subject matter, like just how it's really shaped your outlook.
I mean,
going forward.
I mean, right now we're losing the last living memories of World War II, and reading, I mean, among other things, has great significance because, I mean, writing is a way that people have recorded the stories and the, I mean, human truth of the past. Like people can, you can think of war as statistics, or you can realize that it's actually young men and women shooting at each other. And I mean, it's very significant because, and reading is significant to my outlook because, I mean, it is a window into the past and also has helped me to think about what I want to do in the future.
I think that's one of the things I also appreciate about your intense reading on this is because it all these people are dying. I mean, the National Geographic just featured the last survivors around the world. And you're keeping that alive for me and your dad and your sister and other people as much as they like to listen. And I think about that time when we went to the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum when you were in second grade. And I just feel so sad that it was just a few years before your interest really developed, because there were all of those veterans there who are there to answer anybody's questions, and you just weren't at that age yet where you had questions for them. But I'm just wondering on that note too, Grandpa John and Great Uncle Jackson died before you developed your interest in this subject. What would you have liked to learn from them if you could have had conversations with them?
Well, I mean, I would have had a lot of questions for Great Uncle Jackson because his career as an officer spans Normandy in World War II all the way to the Vietnam era as an intelligence officer. I would have probably been picking his brain quite a lot about having a career in the military. As for my great uncle John, I don't know how much.
Your grandfather.
I mean, well, that's great uncle John. There's my father's uncle who served in Korea. I don't know how much I would have been able to discuss with him because he was not really one to talk about it. But my grandfather flew Phantoms in Vietnam, and yeah, he passed away before I was really old enough to be interested in that. And I mean, since I'm going to college on an Air Force ROTC scholarship, we would have had a lot to talk about.
I think so. When did you start thinking about joining the military, and what makes you passionate about wanting to serve our country in this way, Hans?
Well, I only really started to think seriously about it a little over maybe a year and a half ago, because my ex-scoutmaster, Tony, who was a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force, had told me about this full tuition scholarship for people who wanted to join the Air Force as an officer and take a STEM degree. And I mean, I considered it some, just given my interest in aviation. And I've been privileged to have some great teachers, like my history teacher in junior year, Mr. Christopher, who was a helicopter pilot in the Marines, who have taught me much that I didn't know about service and serving others. And that was what kind of cemented it for me.
What do you think has been difficult as you communicate to your friends about your choice to go into the military?
Oh, well, it's been interesting. I mean, my friends are all, they've come to terms with it, but it's been there have been interesting discussions. I mean, just out on runs with my friends, the subject has brought up some, or turned into some interesting debates. I mean, once one of my teammates, who was not really my friend at the time, but he is now, was like, "Hans, why do you want to join the Air Force? You're going to kill people." I mean, just about yelling at me as we were on this run. I should say that I do cross-country running, or I did in high school for Hellgate cross-country. And there's been a little bit of, not annoyance, just, I mean, questioning of it, because my friends feel that, it's not something they would do. And they've cracked some jokes about, Hans, you want to join the Air Force? You can go over to the Middle East and bomb some poor Iraqi children. There have been some sarcastic jokes about that. That's not what I want to do. And ultimately, they've come to terms with it. I mean, they're all people who can recognize the service aspect of it when it comes down to it. And no matter what their feelings, they can also realize that if my dream is to serve as a pilot or other air crew member, which it is, then that's something I should pursue.
And is that how you handled that conversation? You explained?
I've explained. I mean, I think maybe some of it has been that they don't want me to fall on harm. Mm-hmm. And then also there have been some discussions based in curiosity, like a friend of mine who he knew what I was doing, but we hadn't really talked about it, and he asked me what my plans were, which was good because it also forced me to think a bit about exactly what I wanted to do or what area I wanted to focus in.
Did you want to ask me a question about that?
Well, Mom, how do you feel about me being in the military?
I've had to make my peace with it, which was mostly about a year ago at this time when we went to visit the Air Force ROTC office at Montana State University, and just realizing that this was not an idle fancy of yours, but something that you really were interested in. And ultimately, even though I really thought that you might want to go into history or poli science, which maybe you will someday, I realized that this is your life. You need to lead it. And you're passionate about it. And I think that matters the most, really, to be passionate about what you're doing in life and for a good cause. And I believe that that's what you're doing. And so I can support that.
Mm-hmm.
And I am nervous for you because people are going to yell at you and scream at you, and you're not going to have done anything wrong. And you're going to have to endure some things that I think you're aware of, but you haven't experienced it. And of course, I just want you to be safe and happy.
What was it that Dave Edgerton said? He's a father of one of my friends and he actually flew jets in the Navy on carriers, I believe, but you and him had a discussion. And what were some of the things he told you about serving and being the parent of someone who's
that true? Mothers are never happy to see their sons choose that route. Or that may or may not be true, but I'll be nervous for the next few years. But if experience over the last 18 years has taught me anything about you, Hans, it's that you do persevere.
Mm-hmm.
And you have your eyes on the prize and you have a support system. And I hope you just will always use that. Well, let's talk about high school. And undoubtedly your favorite thing in the past 4 years, which is running for the Hellgate Knights cross country team. One of the most formidable teams in the state of Montana. And I think that's a true statement. I loved running cross country when I was in high school. It is just funny to me that it occurred to me a while ago that I forgot all about this sport for decades until I learned of your friend's passion for running when they were in middle school, especially when you guys were all in middle school. And I can hardly believe that 5 years ago, your dad and I had to practically force the issue with you to run middle school cross country. We told you that if you wanted to spend time with your friends after school, that's where they would be. After your first second run that fall, it seemed to me that you never looked back.
But, really?
Well,
that's I didn't think so at the time.
Well,
it was not that quick of a jump in.
Right.
I don't think.
No.
I didn't like middle school cross country for a little bit.
Well, we never had to cajole you to go to practice. It just seemed like this endeavor clearly became your own. So I was going to ask you if you recalled it in the same way, and you don't.
Not quite.
Do you want to tell me what clinched the deal for you?
Well, I'm not completely sure. I mean, I didn't completely dislike it, and I did like the competition aspect. As for continuing on, I mean, I can honestly say, looking back as a senior on my cross country season as a freshman, it was not a very good freshman at all. I was one of the slowest people on the team. And I didn't really try hard then very much. It took till freshman year track season for the work ethic to really, really stick.
Well, I think it's been amazing to witness your drive and dedication and your growth as an athlete. I just feel like cross country and running has revealed the athlete in you. Because remember when we started out in soccer, and that clearly wasn't the sport for you when you were in first or second grade, because you would stop and get distracted by something in the grass or.
Oh, I don't remember that. I just didn't like the early mornings. It was cold at 8 a.m. in the fall. even a 6-year-old still knows or has the idea that his Saturday mornings shouldn't be getting up early and putting on cleats and shin guards to go play soccer. Or at least in my case, that was how I felt. Right. But plus, it felt like the rules were just, I don't know, I didn't like it. I got not reprimanded, but I got told I was doing it wrong when I threw the ball in underhand from the sidelines after it went out. And then another time, this was something I did not like. I had to block a free kick with some other guys, and this kid kicked the ball, and it really came in. And I just put my knee up, and it bounced all the way back across the field. That was how hard the kick was.
Oh, wow.
So I'm glad I put my knee up, because otherwise that would have hurt.
Mm-hmm. Well, fast forward 9 or 10 years, and you have never complained about getting up for 8 o'clock runs.
No.
Mm-hmm. What has been the most rewarding to you to have this experience of being part of this team?
Well, I'd say, it has allowed me to accomplish great things for myself. I've definitely, really built some solid friendships over that time. And, unlike most of my friends who started out fast, I've definitely had one of the most successful rises, just because I started out way, way far back on the team as a freshman, and I finished as an alternate on the state team.
Right. That took a lot of work to get there. And it's just unfathomable to me that how hard you guys work to get there. And just to know that you have this, how do you think this skill will serve you going forward?
Well, it'll be very useful. I like being fit and being a good runner. I'm going to continue this in college with hopefully the MSU Running Club. Yeah, and I'm sure it will help me out greatly during my time with ROTC and then in my service commitment, because the running portion of the PT test is not something that I will struggle with.
True. And do you think you see yourself running for your whole life?
I do.
What is your one piece of advice for your sister who now has caught the running bug?
Run aggressively.
That's a good.
I can elaborate, I suppose, but I think that's really the only thing people need to know. You have to train hard. And basically train like you race, so you can race like you train. Although that doesn't mean overdoing it. That means just working hard. Mm-hmm. And also, when you're in races, run aggressively. Some of the fastest races I ever had were because, you can. You have to hold on, and if you can lead, that's what it really comes down to. If there's someone in front of you, like at the fastest race of my high school career, there was three of my teammates in the first three spots of the race, then another kid, and then me. And at some point during the second lap of the race, and this was on a 2-lap course of 5K, so 3.1 miles, I just went for it and caught this kid right before the big hill. I beat him up the hill, beat him down the hill, and then I saw my teammate Tim in front of me. So I caught up to Tim and ended up beating Tim and getting third place in the race. So it was a good time. Yeah. But you have to be aggressive. Mm-hmm. Just don't let anyone stay in front of you for long.
Okay.
Because eventually you'll find yourself close to the front.
I think with the rest of high school, all the things that you've been involved in, your academics and choosing challenging classes and just really sticking with it.
They weren't challenging classes. To take anything else would have been dereliction of duty. I mean, it would have been a waste of my time to not take them. And I would have been bored to tears because I wouldn't have been with any of my peers who had been already for a long time. And
do you think you were? Yeah. Do you think you were challenged enough in high school?
Oh, I'd say it was.
Mm-hmm. But you also did a lot of extracurriculars, and you stuck out band and earned your Eagle rank and Boy Scouts. I think all of those things have just contributed to the person you are today. Does that seem true? And I guess I just wonder, I mean, you know that you've gotten to grow up in a supportive family and environment with your friends in school and a wonderful community. What does that mean to you?
Well, I'm very grateful for that. I mean, it has given me many advantages in school and in just life in general, that I don't really have to worry much about my support network, as it were. And I mean, it's definitely helped me be more successful and also helped keep me motivated because I had no reason to fail.
And you're graduating in 2 days. How do you feel about that?
Well, at this point, it's basically an afterthought, frankly. I mean, well, it's just the inevitable conclusion to 4 years of high school, although in this case, after the lateness of my school district and honoring its seniors at points and the dysfunctional policies of my principal, it's kind of just, all right, let's do this. I'll graduate, put on the robe, which will be good, and then I get to have summer.
Great. And are you nervous about anything?
Like what?
Next year?
No, I'm not. I mean, I'm very happy with how things look to be going. I think the major I've chosen at mechanical engineering will be challenging, but I think I can do it. I mean, I've survived accelerated math classes in high school, and I think I'll do it. I'm also looking forward to meeting my roommate in person. His name's Ben Corder. He's from Washington, and he likes running and hiking and being outside like I do. We were just texting last night, and it turns out, I mean, he's been to some of the same cross-country races that I've been to.
Oh, so you guys will have a few things to talk about.
And, I mean, he's a runner, too, so it looks like I hit the jackpot on roommate selection.
Well, that's good, because you will have a different roommates, different housemates. Well, I just want to tell you this, Hans. One thing that strikes me so strongly about you that I've observed about you your whole life so far is that you are comfortable in your own skin. By that, I just mean that you hold fast to your convictions and you persevere, and maybe most importantly, you care about other people.
Why, thank you, Mother.
Do you have any questions for me?
Well, what were you nervous about going into college?
Oh, gosh. That's a good question. I think I was really excited to go somewhere really, really far away from home just to experience something new. And I'm probably more nervous about things looking back on it and for you than I ever was myself. I was mostly just excited, probably about all the similar things that you're excited about, having meeting new people, experiencing new places, being on my own, even though I really had no idea what that was all about, but I survived to tell about it.
See, I've kind of gone the opposite direction because unlike most of my peers and my mom, I do not have bug out fever. I mean, I can understand why, but it still is just almost confusing why so many of my peers in high school have get the hell out of Montana fever. I mean, they want to go to big cities and big, huge universities far, far away. And it's like, I guess if Montana's not really your thing, then or you just really want to get out, then, I mean, do what you want to do. But for me, I wanted to stay in state and close to the places I really love. And also, MSU is basically, I mean, it has a great sciences program and Air Force ROTC. So I that's the only college I actually applied for.
Do you remember the day that you got your acceptance?
Not exactly when I got my acceptance to MSU. I mean, I knew I would get it and I did apply early, so I figured I'd get it pretty soon after I applied. What I really remember is the day that I got my scholarship offer from the Air Force, because I didn't see it till the 26th, but they sent that email on the 25th of December or something. I'm sure that they get a kick out of sending it on Christmas Day. So, and that was something I really remember.
That was a great moment. I remember when you said, "Mom, I got the scholarship." And that is a big moment. That's a big achievement, Hans. I think that that's one reflection of a culmination of all your efforts.
Well, I mean, heck, the application process was long enough, and so was the confirmation or the acceptance process of the scholarship too.
Right. At least you know what you're getting into with the military.
Yeah, there was a little bit of bureaucracy.
Yeah.
But,
well, you know that your dad and I, we wish you only the best. And we have no idea what it will be like for us when you leave. But I know that you'll be there to console us.
Well, actually, I'll be about 180 miles away.
Right. Well, we love you lots, Hans. And congratulations.
Thank you. All right.
I think we're done.